Well, we're going to pick back up over in Romans. I have to confess with you, I get lost sometimes, you know, where I left off, what I said, especially there have been 2 or 3 weeks in between here. I went back and tried to listen a little bit to the sermon the last time I was in Romans, so I knew where to pick up, because, you know, I'm studying, and then I'm reviewing and to preach, and then I come in, and I say, now, where was I, and, you know, doing what? So, bear with me. I think we finished up verse 7 of chapter 9 last time. And really, again, in this context, Paul is expounding upon what he'd been talking about in chapter 8 and really, you know, everything that came previous in the book of Romans. But if you remember in chapter 8 where Paul spoke about things working together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose in verse 28 of chapter 8. And then in verse 29 he says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And really, in chapter 9, Paul is expounding upon God's predestination, God's distinguishing grace. In the context of that, Paul thinks upon having been in the physical descent, an Israelite, of the Israelites, he says, you know, as he's touching the law of Pharisee. You know, born of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he had all that. And God's distinguishing grace in both the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And as he thinks upon that physical realm, he thinks about his own people and his longings for them. But God is God, and God's distinguishing grace is in and of himself. And that's the point that Paul's been making here, and he was speaking in the context there again, the distinguishing grace of the Israelites as a physical people and a nation, and God's distinguishing grace of his elect, in some contexts, you know, spoken of as the spiritual Israel, if you will, but and how those things overlap and intertwine, but they're not the same thing. In particular, Paul has been pointing out the example of Isaac and God's distinguishing grace in the physical realm and with the nation of Israel, and how that operated according to God's own decree, and how that was even distinguished within the physical. What I'm saying here is, again, the example of Isaac is a type and a picture of the spiritual discernment and distinguishment of God, because the point that Paul has made up to this point is, look, all of the children of Abraham were not the recipients of the promise. God distinguished even in the physical realm. Verse 7 that we left off last time, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." God's distinguishing grace, God's promises to Abraham, extended to those whom God had determined, and extended to Isaac, but not to Ishmael. And Isaac, as we continue on here and pick up and continue on in verse 8, we see becomes a type of the spiritual seed, or a picture of the spiritual seed. Verse 8, "That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed." All of physical Israel, all of the physical nation of Israel, are not the spiritual children of God. Now, there was a sense in which they were the physical children, the nation that was his, that he had set aside. But Paul here, as he speaks in the spiritual realms, he said, we have to make this distinction. They which are the children of flesh are not the children of God. The natural descent, the natural generation of Abraham are not the children of God by the Spirit. Spiritual adoption does not progress from the natural flesh. The apostle wrote this in John 1. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Verse 13, he says this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I mentioned, you know, the song by Charles Wesley today, and you know, the emphasis that the Arminian has upon the will of man and the will of the flesh. And as this verse is properly understood, when John says they're not born of blood, it's not by their descent from the Jewish tribes. It's not from our descent, but you know, we're born in America and therefore we're Christian. It doesn't work. It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not because of what my parents want for me or someone else wants for me. Now, the Arminian will follow us up to this point. The Arminian, we might say, is, you know, two-thirds correct. But that's not enough. It's not the will of, it's not of blood, it's not the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not that man's will. He cannot be manipulated and cajoled and psychoanalyzed in order to do the right thing. It's not by that. The spiritual children are not born of blood, but of the Spirit. Now, the Lord spoke to Nicodemus in John 3, and it's interesting how, you know, one verse in John 3 is kind of taken out of context by some within, you know, the Arminians and the free willers. But the Lord's pretty clear there, if you read everything in context, that this is not the decision of man. This is not the will of man. This is the work of God. In John 3 and verse 5, where the Lord's speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, the natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He has to be born of water, the natural birth. He has to be born of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And this great religious leader of the Jews sitting there scratching his head. And the Lord says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's the work of God. And so Paul here says it, that they which are the children of flesh are not, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Who are the children of promise that Paul's speaking of here? He's not speaking in the natural realm. He's not speaking of the natural seed, but he's speaking of the spiritual seed. Now the Jews considered themselves the children of the covenant. Or, if you will, the children of the promise. And in the natural sense, you know, they were. They were the recipients of promises concerning the land of Canaan and concerning national blessings. But not all of them were the children of promise concerning that spiritual seed that God spoke of to Abraham. And further, as we read the Scriptures and it becomes abundantly clear, both in the Old Testament and the New, that that spiritual seed has amongst it those who are both amongst the Jews and the Gentiles. And in that sense, Abraham is the father of many nations. Not just physically, but spiritually. In the sense of those who have a faith like unto that of Abraham's. In Genesis 17, we read as the Lord speaks, it says, Genesis 17, verse 4, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee," speaking to Abraham, "and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Now, yes, there was in the physical realm, you know, from Isaac and from Ishmael, but more than that, not just the sands of the sea, but if you remember, the stars of the heavens. We read over in Revelation of those that are counted the spiritual descendants of Abraham in Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There are our true brethren of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We don't know who they all are right now. Those are the children of promise. And just as Isaac came, they came and they come when there's no hope. No hope in the natural sense. There's no hope to enter the kingdom. There's no hope to be a child of God. There's no hope. There's nothing that man can do. And as a type, it was exactly the same for Isaac. We read over in Genesis 17 and how Isaac now becomes a type of all the children of promise. In Genesis 17 and verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed after God said he's going to give him a child. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Isaac was the child of promise. Now, if you remember right in the context, God had given this promise a long time before. Abraham wasn't quite as old yet. He thought, well, you know, maybe something could happen. It's still possible. And they waited and waited, and nothing happened. And so Abraham and Sarah said, well, we're going to have to help God out. You know, Abraham, you're going to have to take my handmaiden and we'll raise up a son by her. God comes back and says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child by Sarah. Yes. Abraham said, how can that happen? Look at how old I am. Sarah's so old, she's not after the way of a woman anymore in that sense. It's impossible. And so it is with all the children of God spiritually. It's impossible. It's not. We got to say the right thing. We got to do the right thing. We got to say the right. No. You have to be born again. And we say like Nicodemus, oh, how am I going to enter into the womb again? What do I have to do? The Lord says, you can't do anything. It's just like the wind blowing. The Spirit quickens whom He will. And those that are both of the Jews and the Gentiles are counted as the seed of Abraham. The apostle says in Acts 3 and verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. The psalmist said this in Psalm 22 and verse 30, a seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. And that speaks of a people. Not, you know, necessarily in the sense of the generation we think of about 40 years or whatever, but a generation in the sense of those that were generated, and a seed, a people. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. God makes his own people. They're born again into the family. Remember John the Baptist as he was preaching. You know, there's probably no pride worse than spiritual pride. And he's preaching to the Pharisees, you know, they're the ones. They've got it. They're the people. John says, bring forth therefore fruit in Luke 3 and verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't put all your account in some natural descent. Oh, we all got the same DNA that Abraham had. John the Baptist says God made children out of them stones. That's not gonna cut it. And of course, as Paul then writes to the Christians, to the churches in Galatia, here's what he says in Galatians 4 and verse 28. He said this: Now we brethren, he's writing to primarily, almost exclusively Gentile Christians here in Galatia. He says, Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We're the children of promise. Just like Isaac was, Isaac in the physical realm, and I suppose the spiritual as well. But Isaac in the physical realm was a child of promise. It wasn't Ishmael. It was Isaac. And it was miraculous because it could not have been done after the way of man. He says, we are, all you brethren, to the Gentiles in Galatians, we are the children of promise. And then in Galatians 3:29, he said this even more specifically, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's pretty exciting stuff. They told Diane that little children can't learn doctrine or theology when she used to sing songs with the children when we were at Liberal Seminary. But you know, there's a song the kids sing that just got some such deep spiritual truth in it. I won't make you all stand up and do it, but you know, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, and I won't go through the rest of them. See? Well, that's some pretty deep theology there. That's some pretty deep stuff. Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So whether they be Jew or Gentile, in Acts 3:25, ye are the children of the prophets and the covenants of God made with your father, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. You know, what a glorious and indescribable blessing. We are the children of promise. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, he says in 1 John 3, verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we are the sons of Abraham. We are the children of promise. And it's all by God's distinguishing grace. It's not because of something we did. It's not because of the family we happened by chance or destiny to be born into. It's by the sovereign choice of God. And the example again is Isaac, who was given to Abraham and Sarah when there was no hope in the human realm. And that's the way all the children of promise come into the family of God. And verse 9 says, "For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son." Not your human manipulation with Hagar, but Sarah, by whom it would be impossible, is going to give you a son. Isaac, even in the physical sense, you know, was a product of divine grace. He is a type of the elect. And so the promise comes in Genesis 18, where God says again, "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And so that birth is a type of the spiritual birth of all the children of God, the spiritual regeneration of all of God's children. It was a physical birth, but it could have only happened by divine intervention. And so again, as Paul said to the Galatians, as Isaac was, we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And so, by God's time schedule, on God's appointed time, on God's set time, God had already promised. But Abraham and Sarah thought, surely it couldn't have been that way. Surely God must mean something else. Surely God must need our help. Doubt not the promises of God, even when they seem impossible of fulfillment. You know, Abraham and Sarah, it seems like they believed at first. They said, you know, we're pretty old, but maybe it's still possible. And God let it go on for a little while longer, and they said, well, it can't happen now. You know? Genesis 21, here's what we read in verse 2. "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." You know what? We don't hardly ever seem to recognize the set time. We don't see when that is. God's elect shall be quickened and gathered to him at precisely the time that the Lord has ordained. And neither you nor I can quicken that. Now, we ought to be concerned for folks, and Paul's an example of that. We can't make someone a child of God before their time. We can't determine, you know, who is and who isn't, and we're going to expound on that as we go on. Oh, we're to be concerned. We're to yearn after our own. But God's elect shall be quickened at precisely the time that the Lord's ordained. At the set time, we're told in Genesis 21:2. "And none of them shall perish." What's the Lord say in John 6:37? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And just as Sarah, the Lord said, Sarah shall have a son. And just as Sarah shall have a son, so shall those whom God foreknew be quickened and converted and glorified. Just as surely. And the chapter, we call a chapter of faith over in Hebrews 11. Verse 11, we read this. Paul writes and says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, speaking of Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea innumerable. And so Isaac is that example, that type, an impossible birth. And so it is with everyone that is born into God's family. Now, Paul continues here. You know, he's talking in some sense here to his own people, to the Jews, his concern for them. He gives the example of Isaac and God's distinguishing grace concerning Isaac. But he brings yet another example. The descendant of Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. Because again, you know, the human mind may say, well, yeah, you know, God distinguished because, see, Isaac was the son of Sarah, who was the lawful wife. Therefore, and Ishmael was rejected. And so, yeah, that makes perfect human sense to me. That seems fair. And so Paul said, wait a minute, I want to show you what God's distinguishing grace is. And we'll pick up next time, not next week because we'll have Mother's Day, but next time, when he speaks about the descendants of Rebekah and Isaac. You know, they got the same parents. And the elder is the one that ought to have the preeminence. And yet God's distinguishing grace says the elder is going to serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And listen, God is God. God's distinguishing grace, and we'll talk about that as we can continue on. What a wonderful God we serve. And but by His grace, let none be saved. But by God's direct intervention, Isaac could have not been born after the way of man. It took divine intervention, and it takes divine intervention to bring every child into the family of God. It's by His grace, and unto Him should be all the praise and all the glory. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a song, number 203, Amazing Grace. And truly it is, number 203, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion me. As long as life endures, yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, shall be forever mine.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the sovereign and omnipotent God that You are. Father, we, in our weak human understanding, so often don't understand Your promises. We don't understand the set time. Or we too often turn to our own ways and manipulations. Father, we thank Thee that Your sayings are yea and nay, and that they shall be accomplished. Father, we thank Thee that we can trust in all Your promises. Father, I pray for the grace and the strength to walk in the light of these truths. Lord, to realize that we have been called to a struggle. We have been called to a conflict. And yet, Lord, to know that we can trust Thee throughout it all. Father, we thank Thee for Your distinguishing grace. Lord, we know there's nothing within us that could commend us unto Thee. Lord, there's nothing that we could do of our own to bring ourselves into the fold or into the family. Father, we can't comprehend Your love. Lord, but we thank Thee for the manifestation of it in our Savior. We thank You for His atoning death. Lord, we thank You for the promise that all that You gave Him shall come to Him. And Lord, do we know that it will all be accomplished in Your appointed time. And so, Father, in the light of that, may we not be listless, but Father, may we be faithful to that which You've called us to do, knowing that You will accomplish Your will. Father, I thank You for each one that's here. I pray Your hand upon us as we go our ways, that You use us this week to Your glory. We thank You, Lord, for those that You've put us in contact with, and I thank for that family that's struggling concerning decisions for a church home. And thank You, Lord, for the privilege that our little ministries here have been an encouragement and a help to them in some way. Lord, we pray for those of our families that will be traveling today and in the coming days. Thank You, Lord, for the safe traveling mercies You gave Heather. Lord, we pray for those that need Your healing hand. And Lord, we pray for our brothers, our sisters in the Lord. We pray for our sister churches. Oh, we pray for grace We pray for wisdom to know how to stand, Lord, and the strength to do it. Lord, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for this, your church. Thank you, Lord, for one another. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.